Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I talk to people who are part of the transition, part of the transformation of consciousness that's happening on this planet. And to each one of us, as we evolve who we are, and tonight's guest is someone who's very much dedicated to change, transformation, and empowerment. Her name is Dorothy Martin-Neville, and she is, I would say, more than a coach. She helps people change their lives. And welcome to the show, Dr. Dorothy.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I wouldn't say you're a coach. What would you say it is you do?
I am a psychotherapist, and I am also a support for those in transition.
I just met Dorothy on this cruise that we took to the Yucatan. It was a week of holistic lectures and workshops, and you, for me, stood out in a way where I listened to your words that then helped me change. You said, "Go for what your dreams are. You're find the courage to change." Or I forgot how you put it, but when I heard it, I said, "Yes, that's right. That inspires me." Go for your passion is really what you're telling people to do in your work.
Right.
I mean, how did you say that, though? What did you say?
Well, really, I'm sure I phrased it many different ways, but to me, the bottom line is life is meant to be lived. You are meant to live passionately and vibrantly. You are not meant to survive this journey. And if you are going to live it, having a dream is what separates those who are surviving from those who are living.
Having a dream, but so many people are just trying to survive. Most people's lives are about paying the bills, feeding the kids, you know. And so how do you talk to people about thriving when they're barely surviving?
Well, surviving has nothing to do with finances. I grew up in an orphanage and then in a housing project in the inner city in Boston. And survival is a mindset. No matter who you are right now, you're being impacted by the economy. Certainly some far more than others. But to live this journey rather than survive it means I am jumping in with all of my passion, with my vibrancy. I'm looking at what is really going to make me more of who I am meant to be. I am really going to live me as well as live my life.
Well, I guess first we have to find out who we were meant to be. I think I have an idea of who I am and what I'm meant to be, but I talk to so many people who are never given themselves a chance to find out who they want to be or meant to be. And how do you empower people to start there and find out who they are meant to be?
Well, I go back, perhaps just because I have so much vibrancy and so much passion that pours out of every cell of my body, it's just who I am, that when people come around that, and many people like that, who are full of passion and aliveness and vibrancy, they realize there's something that's not in their life. And from that point, take a look, and if necessary, just share that. For myself, being raised in the housing projects, the expectation for me is that I was supposed to be a telephone operator or a waitress until I got married and had 20 children and moved into a tenement, and that was going to be the story of my life because that's what I was supposed to be if I was going to be true to my Irish Catholic heritage of the inner city Boston. And yet, there was something in me that compelled me to say, I want more. I need more, and took all the risks I needed to take to get more. And in doing so, moved right out there. And many people who, you know, begin to recognize that the message they give themselves, that they were given, that you can't reach too high, it's too egotistical to try to become too much, to go too far. When they see somebody else who came from the same circumstances or worse, that there's no such thing as too high, there's no such thing as too much, if it's about who you are. And so when necessary, I will share that story, that I wanted to go to college and couldn't because my father didn't believe in educating girls. And I wanted to go to nursing school, but I couldn't get in because my high school was unaccredited. It was an inner-city school system that was unaccredited. And so I found a group of Catholic nuns who did social work, which is what I wanted to do. So I entered the convent and became a Catholic nun and realized when I was inside that as Sister James Marie versus Dorothy Morton, I was able to go to college and got an undergraduate degree. Left there eventually after some years and moved to Manhattan, became an international airline stewardess. So when they begin to see that there's so many stories that say you can't do this, you can't do that, and many more obstacles, I'm simplifying it, even my own journey, but many more obstacles we run into, they're just obstacles. And if you truly want it, you just see them as an obstacle and you go for it. And many of us were given the message of who we were supposed to be based on where our parents were, because that's what they knew, that's what worked for them. And when you take a risk and you reach further than you were supposed to the first time, and you find out that you have more life, more of you in your life than you had before, the idea of not going forward, it doesn't feel like an option anymore. So when somebody comes into my office and says to me, but I went to school to become an accountant, or I went to school to become an actuary, and that's what I'm doing, and that just is what is. And I will say to them, well, going to college taught you a lot about you and a lot about life, and it taught you a lot about your skill sets, and having your job did as well. But now, knowing all the skills you have, if you were to go anywhere in the world at this point, if you were to do anything in the world at this point, what would it be? And some will say to me, but I don't know, I don't have a dream. So I'll say to them, if you were to have a dream, what would your dream be? And that's much easier because then they don't have to own it. If they were to say to me, my dream is, then there's an expectation that they would make it happen. But if I were to say to them, if you don't have one, just pretend you did. And if you were to have a dream, what would it be? It becomes much easier because they don't have to own it. They don't have to put the obligation on themselves to make it happen.
Plants the seeds for them of what's possible.
Right.
But for you, no wasn't ever anything you considered. No, you couldn't. It was not that in your nature to settle for less than anything you wanted to be. What I hear you say.
Well, you know, I did have that for a while. You know, I did have that I was supposed to be a good girl and be in the projects and live there the rest of my life. And for a while I was saddened, you know, I was excited by it. That was fun. That was meant to be grown up. And then as I got older, it didn't sound like so much fun anymore. And when I started becoming more defiant, I remember my father clearly saying to me, I will break your spirit the way they break horses. And because he was so blatant about his willingness to break my spirit, that defiant side of me popped up loud and clear and just said, not a chance in Hades. And after that, it whatever it did, it gave me permission to be defiant. And it gave me permission to not let him or anybody else kill my spirit. And I guess once I made that decision, the rest was just go for it.
That's a great story, how your father really, in a way, propelled you to be defiant and stand up for what you wanted. Because
right.
Kind of, I mean, what an awful mindset, though, that generation, and probably still people come from with their children. I mean, it's really almost like, I wouldn't say evil, but like a sin. It's like it's an awful thing to do to anyone to want to break their spirit. I mean, I can't even understand that sort of thinking and where that even comes from, because we are here to thrive, like you say. And why wouldn't anyone want that to happen? I mean, I'm just curious, what was going on in your father that made him, like, so miserable that way and to not see beyond that box?
Well, I would say he was a very, in some sense, typical. He was an Irish cop from the projects who had an attitude that he survived. He survived his journey, and he wanted me to be safe, and in his mind's eye, to be safe is to be invisible, to follow what has worked for generations, and to not make any waves. And he was going to break my spirit to help, ironically, to help keep me alive and let me be a good girl and be who I was supposed to be. He never had the option of having any real dreams in his mind, and so therefore it didn't cross his mind that people should have dreams to become everything they're meant to be. In his mind's eye, you did what he did, which was just you get by, you get a job, and if you're a girl, you make lots of babies, and that's the end of the story.
Was he ever able to shift in his life, seeing what you've accomplished? Did he ever have a change of mind?
Well, my dad passed about 5 years ago, and I would say until the end, he used cop language, so there was a lot of words I won't use. But basically what he said is, you've always had a mind of your own, and I'm just proud of the woman you are, even if you did some really stupid things with your life.
But that's how he saw it, right?
It's just, it was a backside of compliment that he loved me. He was proud of who I became, and yet it was really dumb to think that it was a smart move to leave the projects, to become a doctor, to become an independent, self-sufficient woman. He just couldn't fathom anything as crazy as that, but he did love who I was. So he did come around enough to really love me as me, just thought what I had done with my life was pretty crazy. But it was certainly far outside of his box. And unless you're willing to step outside of the box and really become who you are, you never get there. And you can't really become unique while you're doing what everybody else is doing.
Right.
So it's a risk. Coming alive takes a risk.
Being alive takes a risk. But, I do this program called New Realities just because I want to address the people who are coming from a mindset that the world is only the way they think it is. And I'm doing the show for me because I want to keep learning more about stepping outside my box, and taking more risks, and going into places I haven't been before.
And so look at how much you have accomplished with your life, and you realize that we're never done accomplishing.
Yeah.
You have come so far, you have done so much more than many others, and yet for you, it's just the beginning.
Exactly. I feel there's so much more to do and to change and to keep expanding. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm in my little box, and I sort of get stuck even saying, well, what's my next move? Where's my edge? Where can I keep going and following a new dream?
And I firmly believe that when we reach that point where our box is beginning to feel too small, that's our soul's way of preparing us for going to the next step in the journey.
But how do I know what the next step is?
When you take a moment and you look at where you are with your life right now, where would you want to go? If you were to go anywhere next, what would that look like for you? What to you would be the next most exciting thing to do with your life?
Well, maybe taking this program to a wider audience, a national level, international level.
So what can you do to make that happen?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't thought about that. I mean, it sort of seems like things are in the works. People are talking to me about more mainstream guests and bigger audiences. So in a way, as I'm talking about, it seems like some of the things are already starting to unfold. But what can I think I probably could do more to make it happen, like, I don't know, meet some bigger producer. I'd go talk to people at the Oprah Network or something. Not that I would want to leave PBS, but talk to people at the at some of these international, you know, forums.
So just how do you feel inside of yourself when you talk about doing that?
Well, it's a little, and that's scary, but it's a little like, oh, can I really do that?
About can you do that?
I can do that.
You're right. So take a look at that. That it's a little, anything new is going to be scary. Mm-hmm. Anything new is going to be scary because it's an unknown.
Right.
So here you are. What you want to do is take this to a national or international audience.
Yeah.
You want to take this to a much bigger place.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that that's, when that is your dream, when that is what your soul is calling you to do, that's when all the miracles happen. If you have a sense of, this is what I would love to do next, and it's just a thought form, it's nothing real, but then you start getting behind it, like I really would, like your passion starts coming, your vibrancy starts coming, your commitment starts coming, you can start tasting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just get a flavor of what that would be like. And once you let that flavor, and that's scary, but once you let the flavor of what it would be like for you to have a global show, what it would be like for you to have guests in from all over the world,
yeah,
what it would be like for you to do that, once you start feeling it and tasting it and sensing that it's right out there, and you start committing to make it happen, I truly believe to the extent that you do that, spirits start sending in all of these things to your life. I was doing a radio show earlier today, and the host was saying that she had thought of writing a book off and on, it had come to her, but she knew she wasn't smart enough, or she didn't have enough to say, or she wouldn't know how to say it. And then she decided, that's it, I'm writing the book, I'm going to make it happen. She woke up one morning just fully committed. She was in it and so excited about the prospect of writing a book. And not coincidentally, because I don't believe in coincidence, within the next few days, four different people came to her and said, you know, I've been thinking, you ought to write a book.
Well, you know, it's not coincidental that you also say that, because that's also sort of the conflict in me. I do have this book I have been writing, and I talk about doing this radio show, which is another level, but also this book is really needed to be completed, and that's, I think that's really main thing on my priority list that I need to keep going for, because I'm close, and yet it seems like such a huge task that before I think I get to this other dream, I need to kind of go through this one process that is still in the making. Does that make
sense?
What
keeps you from finishing it?
No, it's just, I just feel it's so overwhelming, and it takes so much time every day, and I'm doing it, but I feel sometimes overwhelmed with the, I think the overwhelm. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but if you're overwhelmed by it, you've created some image of it that isn't real.
So how do I change the image I've created?
All right. So if it's overwhelming, what is making it overwhelming? What's the message you're giving yourself?
Okay, that I have so much material I've collected, and now it's a matter of taking, it's going to take so much time to sort through each of these pages to fine-tune and to edit it. That.
What size do you want your book to be?
I don't know. I would say about 250 pages, and I probably have 2,000 pages I've researched and collected.
Okay. One, I'd stop researching and collecting.
Stop.
First step is no more researching and collecting.
That's...
When you keep thinking that you don't have quite enough, you don't have it quite right, this is something missing, what's missing is you. You're making this an academic exercise.
Yeah.
Your knowledge is not what people need. They need you, and they need your experience.
Right.
Nothing more is going to add to that. If you were to put aside what's giving you permission to be stuck, and you saying, I have 2,000 pages, which obviously that may just be a generalization, I have 2,000 pages, and I want it to be about 200, which is about a good number, because it gets too big, people are overwhelmed, and they don't even start reading it.
Right.
So I want to make it about 200 pages. So now what you do is, what's your outline? What do you want these chapters to look like? What is the message you want to write in your book? What's your message that you want to get across? Now, if that's... Go ahead.
I need to know for myself, and I do know what that is. I do know.
What is it?
It's the. It's sort of what this show is about, the ability for people to understand. It's the ability for people to understand that the imagination or the mind or the creative essence of us creates a new reality, that the artist in us is what unfolds new potentials.
Correct. And so now that you know that that's your message, that's your big message, your main message, how do you want to get that out there? What do you want to say to help that get out there? And well, this is your chapters. Now, what do you want the chapters to look like that help you define that message?
Well, I do have an outline, I know what you're saying, but do I then just, what do I do with all these pages I've written now, and how do
I... Well, sweetie, you're going to have to throw away most of them, or what you're going to have to do is save most of them into book 2, 3, 4, or 5.
No, I think you're right. I do have to throw away because that's obscuring the thing, the immediate thing I want to say right now.
But look at how you have found so much confusion and overwhelmed and fear that gives you permission to not go forward.
Right, and I'm tired of that, and I'm ready to go forward because...
Okay, so look at that. This is how so many people sabotage themselves from following their dreams. I have too many options. There are too many ways to do it. There are too many things to do. All of that, I believe, is our lower self. The lower self that calls us to stay where we are and not go forward. Because if we go forward, it could be scary. If we go forward, we could fail. If we go forward, it may not work. And it's better to wish I could than to realize I can't.
Right.
And so, so you've fallen into the trap that says, oh my God, it's too hard, I can't do it.
But I'm tired of that. I need to go forward. I need to complete this.
So if that's what you want to do,
I do.
We're stepping out of the illusion of powerlessness, because it's an illusion. You're stepping out of the illusion of powerlessness. You step out of the illusion of confusion. And you have your chapter titles all set to go.
Yes.
Now, you just look at, you may discover that you're going to use 50% of those 2,000 pages, and the rest you are just writing as you go along. And what ends up happening is you have your chapters, which basically just take your key message and break it up into edible sections, into sections people can swallow one piece at a time. And then you write or pull from what you've already written what fits those particular chapters. And when you break it into a much smaller piece, you're letting go of the illusion of overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's so much as you're overwhelmed, it is you're terrified to really get started.
Well,
you've gotten started on the notes, not the book. You've gotten started on the notes, you haven't gotten started on the book.
Right, so the book is... Yeah, it's true. So just getting started in the book is sitting down and just doing it and stop looking at the notes and making an excuse that of this bigger project. I'm making an excuse for not diving into what I really need to do, is what you're saying.
Right. And so you can see why so many people are so frightened of having a dream. Because what it's going to do is requiring you to sit down and be invested in the dream. You can spend your entire life in the preparation of your dream, which gives you permission to never have to live it.
Wait, say that again. I think that's really important. So
you can spend your life in preparation of the dream so that you never really have to live it.
And the thing you said before that about sitting down and... I think that really hit me. What was it that you said about sitting down and doing your dream? Oh, taking the time, dedicating yourself to the dream.
to just, this is the next dream I have for my life is writing this book.
Yeah.
That is my dream. And I want, dreams don't come from your head. This is so American, especially so Northeast. Dreams do not come from our head. The idea of the dream may come from our head. I want to write a book on this. Then it has got to come from your passion. Dreams come from our passion. They come from our vibrancy. They come from our aliveness. They come from who we are, not what we know. And no. You're caught up in your head. Your
right.
Dream isn't in your head.
Even
a book. I mean, I'm writing my fifth book. Books are not in our head. We get an idea. I want to write a book about this. And now as I want to write a book about this, my first book, Dreams Are Only the Beginning, Becoming Who You're Meant to Be. I want to write a book that encourages people to follow their dreams and that recognizes every dream builds on the next, allowing you to become more and more of who you're meant to be. That's the book I want to write about. That came from my knowledge of what people need. That's it. Now, with my passion, with my vibrancy, with my liveness, with my life experiences, what do I want to say about that? What I wanted to say is, it doesn't matter what people tell you. The dreams are the soul's way of calling you to everything you're meant to become. So to me, it became natural to write my life story. So the backdrop of my first book is my autobiography. So starting with that, because so many people have said to me, well, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. It's easy for you to have dreams. I was born in an orphanage, not really with a silver spoon in my mouth. And then others would say, well, you've always had it easy. You've never had challenges. That's why you've followed so many of your dreams. So to me, it made sense to start with writing my story of from the orphanage to the housing projects to living outside. I wasn't allowed in the house because I was illegitimate. My grandmother would not allow an illegitimate child in the house. So I wasn't allowed in the house until 9:30 at night when she went to bed. So I would then be put in a playpen. At 9:30 at night, they would bring me in, feed me supper, put me to bed, get me out at 5 in the morning. So by 5:30, I was in the playpen again. When she woke up, I'd be gone. So she would never see an illegitimate child in that house. And that was summer, fall, winter, and spring in New England. So
But that made you feel a certain way. Didn't that make you feel bad or
what it makes me feel is, my girlfriend has laughed. We talked about this. We were laughing once, and she said, I can see you now at 3 and 4 or 5 years of age in that playpen. And you had nobody there because I couldn't go inside where my brothers and sisters would have gone. She said, I can see you calling every darn person who walked by that playpen in front of the housing projects, in front of the stoop. I see you calling them over. You became a public speaker at 3 years of age. So now I look and I just laugh and think, my God, I have had a big mouth since I was a child. And so talking to strangers was easy because what else did I have? And so now I look back at it and I think, isn't it amazing how I truly believe we bring into our journey everything we need to support us in becoming everything we're meant to be? And being in an orphanage, I was alone. I had nobody. And so when you're alone out there, what perfect person to become a pioneer? Because pioneers are out there by themselves. They are pulling people along behind them, but they're the ones that are out there by themselves creating change. So my whole life script has built up to where I've come at this point. And so when I see that happening to me, I don't believe that I am all that unique at all. I think other people's circumstances may have been different, but the messages are the same. We've all brought in what we needed to get to where we want to go. The difference is when you get caught up in the illusion of being a victim or being powerless or being stunted or being confused or being overwhelmed, all of that gives you permission to pretend you don't have all the gifts you need already inside.
But you were born with something unique, though, which is this ability to be this person. Other people would have had a totally different reaction, and you were born to show the way, perhaps, but and of course everyone has that potential, but there's something unique about the perspective you chose to have for whatever reason.
Well, I would say that would be true if I was the only one in the world who's been through hardship and come out that way, but I'm not. I just think that when you get caught and confused and overwhelmed, it's giving you permission to play safe. And I think that's what's happening for you. And on occasion, I did choose the safe way, and it may have lasted for me for a couple of years. But after a while, it became like a straitjacket. It was too confining, and I needed to breathe. I needed to stand up straight again. And so I would break out of that containment that truly is self-created. And just as you have a clear message you want to get out, but you've gotten so caught up in your knowledge that you're forgetting you already know in your heart the message.
I do. I know exactly what I need to say, and somehow...
So when you go to your heart... and you go to your experiences, and you go to your passion, and you just start writing, you're going to discover all your knowledge is secondary. It's important, but it's secondary. And you can use it as you're using it now with 2,000 pages. You've given yourself permission not to go forward. All you have there is notes. You don't have a book. You could write a book in 2 months and be done with it.
Right, exactly right. So what you said before was, now it's time to dedicate myself to my dream, to, in a way, make a commitment to that dream. And that's the priority. That's, in order for a dream to happen, we have to decide, we just have to go for it. We can't just keep dreaming.
You can't. Once you can taste it, once you know it is the next step in your journey, once you can't deny, this is what's next for me, anything you do to keep yourself stuck at that precipice is your defense, it's your fear, it's your lower self, whatever you want to call it, whatever's keeping you stuck is what you need to acknowledge. That's not your truth. That's that part of you, that lower self, that is saying, play it safe, don't take a risk.
Okay. Now you've helped me. I think I got it. I think I can see that part of me that's wanted to play it safe, and now I'm ready for something bigger. You know,
think about this. Here you are with a radio show. How many people in the world wish they had their own radio show? There you have a TV show. How many people in the world wish they had a TV show? You've got both.
Right. And I have my own website, but I have a bigger dream.
Fantastic. But you see, every dream builds on itself. First you got, I don't know which one you had first, but you had one of those. Then you went to the next one. Because the first one prepared you for the next one. These two have prepared you for the next thing. So when you realize you're not going into your next dream of having your book in a much larger TV or radio show unprepared, you're going in, your entire life has prepared you for the radio show and prepared you for the TV show, which prepared you for the book, which prepares you for taking it globally. You're going in prepared already. All it requires is holding your nose and jumping in. You've got it.
Thank you. I know I do. And when you say it, I can taste it, and I know it. I do know it.
You know it in your head. You've got to know it in your heart. Because your head is going to come up with all kinds of obstacles. When your heart is wide open to something, there is no obstacle. I mean, it's Diana Ross's, there ain't no mountain high enough, you know, ain't no river, all of it. It's all there. And you've got it. So when your heart is open, there is no mountain high enough to stop you. When you're in your head, there are 1,000 reasons not to go forward.
So how do I then stay in my heart and get, like, this obstacle thinking out of the way? I mean, how do I stay connected to that and keep going forward?
How do you? when you allow your passion to come up, and this is for anybody, when you allow your passion in, what is it for you at this moment today that allows your passion to make you feel giddy?
Well, thank you. I'm also thinking about people like Whitney Houston, who had it all, as according to what we think. And then, you know, what happens to those people who
Whitney had it all in the exterior.
Right.
If Whitney had it all, she never could have gotten involved in drugs.
Right. So why do people get involved?
You see, if she had it all within, and she had such potential, she came from a strong faith, she came from so much. I think she was a phenomenal woman, and what a gift to this planet with her voice, with her ability, whether she was singing gospel or singing anything else. What a gift her voice was. And she had her own journey to live. For whatever the reason, part of that obviously brought in all of the drugs and all of the other pieces that destroyed her professionally. Mm-hmm. It doesn't for a moment take away the essence of the soul that was there. What it did was take away the ability to succeed in this world in the way that she could have. But if her soul had been filled, if she had been connected to the essence of who she was, she would not have been so caught up into the drug scene.
So
she was missing the essence of who she was.
People take drugs because they have missed, like someone in her case or anyone's case of taking drugs or any kind of alcohol or any kind of, you know, addictive type of behavior. They're disconnected from the mission of their own soul, is what you're saying?
Well, from the essence of who they are, never mind their life purpose, just from the essence of who you are. When you recognize that this life is a journey, that this life is an adventure that is constantly calling you to become more of who you are, there is like a childlike innocence, there is an excitement, there is a passion of look at what I have achieved, and whether I succeeded and failed at something or what, look at what I achieved, look at what I've learned about me, look at what I've done. It feels so exciting to be alive, to be learning, to be living this life, even when, and nobody's life is all smooth or all good or without problems, but when you look at the big picture and you think, what a gift my life is, and you start discovering more and more about your own strengths and your own weaknesses, and you become more excited about the passion of being you. To take drugs or alcohol, and I'm fine with a glass of wine or a Cosmo or something, but not five and not 12, you know, when you take things that cause you to lose touch with that essence of who you are, with that excitement, with the beauty, the innocence, the freshness of all of that, you realize you're losing you in the process. And you is the best gift you've got. You is the best gift that you bring to the people in your life. It is who you are that is the gift, not what you do and not what you know, who you are. And when you have the ability to experience you in your life, nothing in the world is worth losing that.
So
nothing.
Each person here has a unique gift that they're here to bring to humanity as their soul's purpose.
And every one of us.
So would you then restructure the educational system you like it to encourage children at such a young age to follow that instead of being so conditioned and brainwashed and thinking they have to be an accountant or a doctor or a lawyer?
I would change our educational system 180 degrees and in so many ways. I certainly do believe that children need to learn about structure because we need some structure in our world. We need to know this is the side of the road everybody drives on. We need to know that this company is open from 9 to 5 or 8 to 4. We need some structure. So children need to learn to live within a structure. But once they know the boundaries of that structure, to support their creativity, to support their ingenuity, and to let them find the areas in which they are creative. You know, there needs to be a blend of both. Our school system now is so focused on tests, and it's a test that doesn't apply to every culture. It's a test that doesn't apply to every area. The test that they will give here in Hartford, and the life experiences of kids in Hartford is not going to be the same as the life experiences of kids in New Mexico or kids in Texas or California. So to ask questions that aren't applicable make no sense. It doesn't prove I'm intelligent because I know how to rope a horse or how to do whatever. I don't have a clue. I would flunk every test. Doesn't prove I'm lacking intelligence. It proves I don't know the culture that those questions come from. So there's so much we need to do to support our children living, again, within boundaries. But once they know the boundaries, discovering who are they? What is the gift they're bringing to this world? You know, and some kids are going to excel, say, in math and barely pass English, but some are going to take English and be immensely creative in their writing. And so now we know where their skill sets are.
I think allowing children to play also and finding where their creativity in the play and the playing lies, you know,
enormously, because again, in the play, they're creating a whole reality.
Right. I mean, I used to play with soldiers and set up these scenes and create these sort of different, almost cinematic scenarios that then led me to be attracted to film and video and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that, because it starts when you're little. It starts when you're little. It goes, when I was little, were in the building that I lived in the housing projects, the women on the third floor was a prostitute, and all the sailors, when the ships were in, I was in Boston, when the ships come in, all the sailors would be walking across the roof to go to her apartment or coming up, getting taxis and coming up the front door. The woman downstairs was a prostitute, but she worked out of the building. And so oftentimes her little ones at 1 and 3 years of age were left alone. And I just took them under my wing. I would be 8 or 9 years old taking them under my wing. I would feed them. I would nurture them. I would rock them to sleep. And I became a nurturer. I became someone who was there to be empathic and see other people's issues and support them. And this is as a child. And I grew up from that becoming a psychotherapist, a social worker and then a psychotherapist. Who we are comes out very early. If we allow it to come out, and it, especially if it's encouraged to come out. And that's why, if we let it out early, but again, that just lets us know what our gifts are. We need permission to take those gifts and make them our dreams. You know, what dream are those gifts leading us to? What dreams are for us? And there's no one dream. Our dreams keep coming again and again, as you had. You had a dream at one point to have a radio show, then a dream for a TV show, and now a dream for a much larger audience, more global, and a dream to write this book. So what to me, the whole learning process of this journey about coming who you are is you looking at what's giving you permission to stay stuck, not to reach your next dream. That it's not a mistake. It's all a part of your learning, because that's also something you then learn to give to somebody else. So once you recognize how staying in your head and hiding in your writing of 2,000 pages is giving you intellectually permission not to follow a dream, you get to see how intellect, which is a gift, also becomes a liability.
I'm almost seeing that as you're speaking on. There's a part of me that's resisting letting go of the intellect. That's I can feel those two parts being split in me somehow.
Which one makes you feel more you?
The creative impulse, of course. The intellect.
Well, then that's the one you've got to trust, because you're the gift, not your intellect. Your intellect is a compilation of all the facts and information or falsehoods that have been dumped into your life since conception. Your wisdom is within your body. It's within the Tantien. The Tantien, the soul, the really the ticket to the Akashic Records, that's between the pubic bone and the navel. The Tatian is deep within your body. Your knowledge is in your head, but it's really in every cell in your body. But your brain function is one thing. Your passion, your vibrancy, your wisdom is something else altogether. And your uniqueness comes from your passion and your wisdom. That's your unique ability to support and transform this planet. That knowledge, everybody can acquire it by going to the same resources. But nobody can acquire your wisdom or your passion. That's the gift you're here to bring.
No, I'm getting, as you're speaking there, it's sort of like nourishment for me to hear that. It's that part of me talking to myself that is moving me forward. When I hear that, you're talking to the part of me beyond the intellect that is
good.
Me into the pattern, into remembering the passion, into feeling back into myself about who I am. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, truly, this is a message I want the world to hear. And my dream is to bring that message to the world, and to that our wisdom is unique. It's ours. It's the result of our life journeys, all of them, and it's a result of our life experiences here this time. It's a result of who we have become. And nobody sees the world through our filter the way we do. And our unique contribution comes about because of that unique filter. How we have translated our life experiences, how we have translated our knowledge, and how much of that fits into our wisdom. How much of that transforms our wisdom.
And the beauty is that it keeps evolving. So what you said a few times is once you have a dream and you own it, then it's okay to dream bigger. But I think we can't go on to the next dream until we, not just till we have accomplished it, but till we feel like we've sat in that dream, like we acknowledge ourselves for having accomplished for a little bit, and then we can go. I mean, you don't want to go just rushing from one dream to the next.
No, but look at this. Just say, for somebody, their dream is to become an elementary school teacher. And they get accepted into a college that specializes, it has a teaching degree. And now they're a senior. And they're saying, I've been doing elementary school teaching. That's been my focus. But now that I'm here, now that I'm doing my internship, now that I'm doing my student teacher training here, and I'm out there in the field, what I realize I want is to teach high school, or to teach in college, or to teach for Teach for America, or to teach in a foreign country in Zambia or in South Africa. All right. Now you had to go this far in this dream. And once you went this far, it opened up doors that you never would have seen way back there when you were thinking about becoming a teacher. But as you walked forward, as you owned that dream, as you worked to make it real, even before you completed it, what it did was put you in a position that you now see so many options you never would have seen without these 3.5 years of training. And so you don't have to go forward and get your license and teach in the first grade in your hometown. You don't have to do that. Working towards it, I'm not talking about bouncing around. I'm talking about in a solidly grounded way. Working towards it exposed me to things I never even knew existed. So now I am ready. I'll finish this last semester just because now I've got a base qualification to fall back on. But from this, what I'm going to do when I graduate, I'm going to take off and go over here. And instead of teaching in the first grade in my hometown, I truly now want to join Teach for America, or I want to join the Peace Corps and go someplace and do something. And that dream to be a teacher led you to the next dream. And sometimes it happens quickly. Sometimes we live our dream for a number of years, and then we're ready because the next dream is so much bigger. We needed these few years to prep us, to train us, to prepare us, without even realizing that these years have been preparing us for the next dream. And each dream prepares you for the next. And you don't necessarily even have to complete that dream when another door opens.
Right, you know, that's true. But I think, and for me, there's been moments where I've achieved a dream, and to just acknowledge for myself, or when people achieve dreams in general, it just allows a moment to register that we've done something. I think that's a very important moment to acknowledge ourselves, that we've set out to do something and we've done it, and there. It brings a satisfaction on the soul level, and then we can, of course, keep going.
You're right. I agree with that. Yes, you can do that, and you can do that. My hope is that you're doing that at incremental stages. That just say, say for you to own the fact that yes, I created my own radio show, and I did it in New York City. Can you imagine that? I did it, and now look, I did this TV show, and I did it. And I did it in New York City, and I did it. I made it happen. Certainly not by myself, but I made it happen. And now my dream is this book. And yeah, lots of people will support you, whether it's support system in your friendships or people who give you ideas, whatever it may be. But you're doing it. They're the support system you are smart enough to bring in. But you did it. And now that book may be a calling card for you to so many other things. But you don't have that calling card until you actually sit down and write that book that is right. The next dream.
Right, and that's where my soul feels like it's leading me to that dream, and that's what's been sort of, it's always, I guess you know it's your dream when it's always with you and it doesn't leave you.
Doesn't go, because it's what you're called to do, but your soul is calling you to do, and it doesn't go away. Your soul is not a temporary concept. It's going to be there calling you to what's next for you, and it's going to give you that dream. It's going to show you the next dream you've come in here to accomplish. And when you do that, just say you're writing this book, and you get three-quarters of the way through, and someone comes up to you and says, are you done yet? No, I'm three-quarters of the way. Well, I've read what you've written. I want to make this into a movie. Could we take this and make this a movie? Well, you didn't finish the last chapter, but yet it's already gone into a movie. It's already being written up as a script. You see?
Yes, absolutely. That's actually, a very possible thing. So, well, I think we're almost out of time, but you've definitely helped me, and I hope you've helped a lot of people who are listening just to follow what is so basic to us as human beings, that we are all born with a soul and a desire and something we're passionate about, that, and that's why we've incarnated into the earth plane, is to follow that passion. It seems so obvious.
To become who we're meant to be and bring that's our gift to the world. Who we are is our gift to the world. And when we are truly who we are, we're living the essence of our soul. We are living the essence of our goodness, of everything we are, of who we're becoming, of what we're doing, and we are sharing it lovingly with the world. It is our gift to the world, but it's also our gift to ourselves, because each dream allows us to experience ourselves in a new way. And what an exciting adventure that makes it.
Yeah. Well, it is, because and with that, there's so much more creativity and possibilities for the earth and the human race just to unfold.
It's unlimited. And I wrote, if I may say so, I did a 10-week teleconference on reclaiming your passion, remembering your dreams. And it is looking at all, as we spoke about with you, all the different defenses, all the different messages each personality style creates to stop you from living your dream, to stop you from claiming your passion. And when you can look at that, you're going to see that we're so holistic, we are so multidimensional, that when you look at your personality style, there are certain defenses, certain fears that go with each personality style. And each of those impact the chakras differently. Each chakra is impacted more and more depending on your personality style. And you can look at all of that. There's such a logical way, and I put all that out there, and it was so exciting. It was such a fun process to do of looking at how this personality style creates these defenses, which blocks this first chakra. This personality style and these defenses block the second chakra. And look how all of that can either stop you from claiming your dreams or empower you in claiming your dreams. It's just understanding your own body, understanding how your body feels when it's impassioned, how your body feels when it's being so constricted and filled with fear and stagnant. And
let's do a show on that, that whole personality structure and the chakras.
I'd love it. It is just, it's so simple if somebody can, again, step out of all that knowledge and step into your passion. It's so simple to understand. It's so easy to see that different personalities block different chakras and have different defenses that hold you back from claiming your dreams. And every personality has strengths and everyone has limitations. Just know both of them.
Passion. It sounds like that. I feel more of you coming along. As you talk about this, I feel, an increased energy because of, it sounds like this is also your passion.
It is my passion. To enliven people, to claim their passion and come alive is my passion. And to see how when you don't, you are impacting yourself in terms of spiritual disease, emotional disease, and physical disease. That it's when you're claiming your passion and your vibrancy that you're healthy. And so, when you don't allow it, that you become physically ill.
Right, and we'll do a show about that. I think that's very important. Can people find this teleseminar online?
Oh, they certainly can on my website. It is Dr. Dorothy, Dr. Dorothy, CT for Connecticut, drdorothyct.com.
Thank you. Thank you, Dorothy, for everything you've shared with me and the audience. And what final words would you like to just leave people with as far as following their dreams?
To give them themselves the gift of their dreams, because it's truly who they've come here to be. It's who they're meant to be. Your dreams connect you to your soul in a way nothing else on this planet will. And your dreams continuously call you to become everything you are meant to be.
And it is
our responsibility. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity.
And it's never too late to dream.
Oh my God, never, ever. One of the exciting pieces for me is working with those high-end executives who are now retiring. They've got a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of life experiences that they can share with the world in a way that only they are so blessed to be able to do. And to work with those folks who are then able to go and impact so many others because they can now begin to live the dream of who they were meant to be now that they've more often than not done what they thought they were supposed to do. They now can become everything they truly are. And their real wealth is themselves, not their money. It's who they are. That's the wealth.
We'll do some television shows as well in New York about all this. There's so much that it lights people up to hear your words because it comes from your experience as well. It's not just philosophy.
Oh God, no.
You've lived it.
I've lived it, darling.
Thank you, Dorothy.
You're so welcome. Alrighty, I look forward to all of it. What a fun adventure we can take together.
We're taking it. We are on it. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Helped me immensely. So.
Oh, I'm glad. God bless, hon. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Dorothy Neville. This is her website. It's drdorothyct.com, and she'll be back on the show, I'm sure, at some point soon. We can contact her through her website. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and if you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. I'm going to end with this song by Chris Williamson, which is the Song of the Soul, which is, I think, what we've been talking about on this show. Thank you for listening.